Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. I'm Susan Jane, your podcast host. And today, as promised, we have got the lovely Emily Douglas. Now, she's an astronomer. Oh, no, I'm going to get this wrong. I knew I'd get it wrong. She will help me with that. But she watches the planets and the moons, and that's what we're talking about today. She does a lot of other stuff, especially these lovely little hardcover books for babies, you know, for the birth chart of a baby. I got one done for my granddaughter. She's 7 now, 7 years ago. But now she presents them in these little hard copy books. They're gorgeous, but that's not what we're talking about today. We'll talk about that another day. Today we're talking with Evelyn about the moon and how it influences us intuitively. So welcome on board, Evelyn.
Hi, Susan Jane. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
I'm so looking forward to this because I know we've got 4 phases of the moon. But before we get into all that, let's not get into that yet. I want to know how you got into this. A little bit of a background about you.
Well, this goes back a very long time. I was 16 when my father gave me a book written by a woman who was describing her life as an initiate and a queen in Egypt. Now, at that stage, reincarnation was a foreign concept to me, as were the many things she discussed as part of that incarnation in Egypt. One of the things she talked about was astrology. She also talked about sacred geometry. She talked about yoga, which is something I also practice, and is a very ancient way of keeping the body healthy and well. But the astrology and the yoga were the two things that I picked up on at that time. And as my life progressed, opportunities presented themselves, and in fact, I made them happen to learn astrology and yoga. But the first thing was the astrology, and it was a very interesting initiation, if you like. I was in the 70s talking about astral travel. Now, you may not appreciate that in the 70s, this was a very strange topic to discuss, especially on public transport in the middle of a busy city.
Who were you discussing that with a friend, or were you listening?
No, I was connected with a colleague from work who had a different role, and we just had a very lovely connection. And she said to me, oh, you know, Evelyn, I would love to study something together with you, something outside of our work, which would be really nice. And I said, yes, that'd be a great idea, Julie. Now, she was a big, tall, beautiful redhead lady with lots of grace and charm, and she was from the US. And I said, well, Julie, what would you suggest we study? What appeals to you? And she said, well, I'm really interested in Sanskrit. And I said, well, that would be interesting. But I said, I've just spent several years studying Greek and Latin, and probably nice to have a change from languages. What else did you have in mind, Julie? She said, well, what about astrology? Oh, well, like many other people of that time and current times too, I had been reading the astrology columns in the popular women's newspapers and other publications, and I thought, for this subject to still be of interest to people, there must be something else to it. So what is it about astrology? Is it true? Does it really help us? And so Julie introduced us to a gentleman who had been a cartographer. He was an elderly, wizened little man, retired, and he taught a class of about 6 or 8 of us how to cast a chart. And what I mean by that is how to calculate the positions of the planets at the exact time, date, and place of your birth. Now, understand that in those days, we didn't have the facility of these amazing computers we have today. I know that's aging me, but, you know, that's the reality. And so we cast our charts. We had to do them all by mathematics using logarithmic tables, if you remember what they are. And so to calculate anybody's chart, it used to take me at least an hour. And then you had to make sure that you were actually accurate. And then you got onto the interesting bit, which was, oh, so having the sun in Aquarius means that. And so what happens if you've got moon in Gemini? Or what happens if you have moon in Sagittarius or Capricorn? How does that affect where the sun is? And what about all these other planets? And so that was the beginning of a wonderful magical mystery tour, which I'm still on, and I'm still learning. And the more I learn, the more I want, the more I feel I don't know, the more I learn, the more I want to learn. It's fascinating, fascinating information. And it helps us.
But it's so in depth, isn't it? There's so much to it.
There are so many layers.
Yes, yes. But what we need to do is, because I'd love to get you back. I'm going to say that now before we even start because you've got so much information there. But what I want to do for the listeners today is really get a better understanding of the moon and the moon cycles, the phases, what it does to us. Because I don't know if I'm being sexist here, but I feel that the moon affects women more so than men. But that could just be me.
Well, the moon is one of the three most important influences in a chart because it reflects your instinctive, your intuitive, your emotional, the emotional component of who you are. And so when we're babies, it's the moon energy that we work with, that we resonate with, because it's intuitive, it's instinctive. And so when you are looking at a new little person, you look at their moon sign rather than, oh, he's sun in Leo, he's got to be bright and chirpy and a party animal and blah, 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 blah. Then you find he's got moon in Pisces and you find a very different sensitive little soul who really needs to be in touch with his own intuition, who needs to be able to communicate with his angels or his soul guidance people or whatever. And that Piscean, that intuitive, soft, gentle energy will give a very different flavor to the large, powerful sun in Leo. And, you know, so there's multitudinous combinations. You know, you might have your sun in Taurus and your moon in Gemini. Well, how does that work? You might have sun in Capricorn and your moon in Aquarius. How does that work? And it's not just the moon, it's the position of the moon relative to the sun that makes a difference. In which, for example, in which house is your moon? How far away is it from your ascendant, which is the third most important point on your astrological chart? So moon, very interesting.
Very, very deep too, yeah, yeah. All right, so if we bring that back to sort of more about the here and now rather than our birth chart, because the moon is influencing us all the time. We pick a point in our birth and we can go from there, and that's our, I suppose that's our go-to, isn't it, really? What our birth chart is our go-to. If the wheels start,
it's our map of where we're going in our life. Yeah,
Yeah. So we've got that. But how is the moons affecting us in the here and now? What's that? What does that mean to us?
It's a very subtle energy, and you're right. It does appear to affect women more obviously than men. Now, the most obvious significance is the women's monthly cycle, because when you're in your menstrual cycles, you are cycling in the phases of the moon. And many of you would know that if you are women living together, you will often cycle together. You're somehow or other, there's a subtle energy that synchronizes your cycles. But the moon has subtle effects on mollusks. We also are aware of the effect of the moon on the tides. You know, the tide is really high at a full moon and a new moon. Why is that? What pull does the moon have? And if the moon has this much pull on these physical entities, these physical objects, what sort of pull does it have on you as a human being? And if the moon has a pull, what about the other planets? Why would they not have subtle energetic influences?
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. That's almost scary. And you sit there and wonder why you behave the way you do sometimes, or why we get these intuitive messages the way we do. But when you start to look at these, the greater influence of the planetary alignments and what they're doing and where they're going, you start to sort of go, well, hang on, not that we're insignificant, but it's almost like that. It's almost like, wow, we've got so much happening. If we get an understanding of what's going on and get clearer messages or clearer understanding, that's going to make things certainly a lot easier, I would think, in the world. But I want to go back down to the moon phases. So there's this, I believe, 4 moon phases. And why are they significant? What do they mean to us now, the moon phases? I think we've got like a new moon coming, or we've just gone through a new moon, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, there's 2 ways to look at this moon phase conversation. The one is the one you're referring to, and I'll come back to that in a moment, and that is the current cycles of the moon and what it means to us in everyday life. The other way to, another way to understand the energy of the moon is to look at it in your own chart and where the moon is relative to the sun. But I think your question is more about, you know, what happens when we have a full moon here, or what happens when we have a new moon, and what does that mean, and what about the quarter moon or the three-quarter moon? How does that affect what goes on Earth? You're right. It's interesting, in the month of August, we're actually experiencing 2 full moons, which means that the moon is opposite the sun. This is what a full moon means, because the moon doesn't itself have any light, any light. And so it simply reflects the energy of the sun. So on the 2nd of August, for example, we had, it was the 25th of July, we had a full moon, and we could say full moon in Leo, but in fact the moon was in Aquarius and the sun was in Leo. And that's a good time to party, because I tell you what, Leo's like a party. But the next full moon in the sign of Leo, where the sun is in Leo, it's actually not the sun in Leo, it will be, is when, it'll be another 2 weeks' time, but it'll be the sun in Leo, it'll be the 28th, 29th degree of Leo, and it'll be in Aquarius, so also in Aquarius. So interesting times, but in between we have a new moon. Mm-hmm. Now, the new moon is a time of seeding, time of putting out what you'd like to happen using the energy of that moon. So, for example, when you have a new moon in Leo, which is something we've experienced recently, Leo is about self-empowerment. Leo is about being proud of who you are. Leo, as I said before, Leo loves a party. And Leo loves romance. Leo is also a beautiful energy for creativity and for generosity. Leo can be very dignified and very noble. Leo can also be very arrogant and, you know, dominating, directive. And so,
all right. So with the new moon, when we're saying you're putting out, with the new moon, we are actually putting out our intentions or our goals. And
it's very smart to use the new moon to put out your intentions and your wishes.
Okay. And if we put those wishes or intentions in alignment with the house that the moon's in, which is for this early August one, it would be Leo.
Well, it's is that the house, it's the energy. No. The energy.
The energy, sorry. Yep, sorry, the energy.
Yeah.
So if we put our wishes or intentions in the energy of Leo, then we're more likely to get on the right path, aren't we?
Well, we are. We are, absolutely. Because you are using, so it's a bit like, you know, if you've been surfing or you've seen people go surfing, they don't try and paddle in against the wave. They go out and they find the wave and they choose a wave so the energy of the wave can bring them closer to the shore.
Yes.
And so it's a bit like that, understanding the energy of the astrology means that you can go out and say, oh, it's Leo energy. Okay. So if I wish for lots of fun and games, if I wish to have, you know, to perform in the drama, in the play around the corner, or I really want to have my lovely romantic partner, we are working with the energy and we are more likely to be able to harness that energy to take us to our wishes.
Oh.
And so it's, you know, wish upon a star. No, wish upon a moon.
All right. So what you're saying is that for each new moon we put our intentions out.
Yes.
Or our wishes out. How do we know, like, we're putting this podcast out in early August 2021, right? Yes. So that this podcast is going out at that particular time. How do we know what the full moon, what energy the full moon will be in September or October or November? How do we work that out? Is there a way we can work that out for the new moon?
For the moon, well, as an astrologer, I have access to what are called an ephemeris, and it is simply a table of the planetary positions for years. Okay. But you can also check that out on the internet. You know, Mr. Google has information for all sorts of things, and NASA website is often quite good for that sort of information. But, you know, contact your friendly astrologer.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. That's a good plug.
You see, just as you put your intentions or your wishes at the new moon, like, for example, in Leo, we really want to notch up that romantic energy between us and our partner. So you want to notch up it. And so you can expect that to culminate, as to come to fruition, as to really manifest at the full moon 2 weeks later.
Oh, okay. So we put our intentions out at the new moon and expect it at the full moon.
Yes.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
Yes, yes. And so we might have, you know, let's say you have a new moon in Pisces. That's a very different energy. Mm. You know, you might want to, if with Pisces, you might wish to to have your have some reflexology done on your feet, or you might like to have your hands massaged, or you might like to see a psychic to help you channel your spiritual connection. It's a very different energy. You might like to harness your spiritual awareness and your imagination. Pisces is about imagination. It's about those ethereal sorts of ideas that come and go, perhaps like dreams, like visions. It's every new moon is different. Every new moon is different. And so you can use each new moon to ask for different things. And it's a really interesting way of bringing yourself back and saying, okay, well, I've worked with the new moon in Aries and now I'm working to a new moon in Taurus. So let's have a look at my possessions. You know, perhaps I need to pay attention to my jewellery and have it all polished and cleaned. Perhaps I need to...
Or buy some.
That's exactly right. So using the energy of each astrological sign to move you forward. And so it changes your focus every month. And it's not like a linear progression. It's like an evolution. It's like a spiral going up. So you will have a progressed point to now. And, you know, if you were to spiral it up to the next level next year, you'd find that you have made some progress.
Wow.
And so next year with a new moon in Leo, you might choose to wish for something else.
Whoa, okay. That's really interesting. I knew that the new moon was about putting intentions forward, but I didn't realize that if it's in line with that that right energy, it's you've got a better chance of achieving it, or, you know, that taking those steps forward. But what I really like is the fact that you're asking, because one of the things I talk about with intuition is if you don't ask, you don't open yourself up to receiving. And putting these intentions out at the new moon gives you the opportunity of receiving, because you become aware of it.
That's exactly right. You become aware and you become open to receiving. Yes. You know, you've put out for the romance to you know, to be a bit more intense. And so you're looking for all the options. And as you with your intuition, you know, you find your messages come maybe through something that someone says on the radio, maybe an advertisement on a billboard, or maybe something somebody says to you, and you know that that's a message from spirit to say you're on track or you're not on track, whatever.
Yes, yeah. I love that idea. All right, so we've talked about the new moon and putting our intentions up. We're talking about the full moon, because you're saying that the intentions or the wishes or what we're looking forward to will happen, steps of it will happen, we start it to happen. What do you mean by it will happen in the full moon or on the full moon?
Well, you expect it to happen, or that is the time it's most likely to manifest. And you can't make things happen if they're not meant to. You know, you can simply put things in train and open yourself up, make sure the channels are open. I mean, if you're wishing for more money, we know, make sure you have a tax lotto ticket or a lotto ticket. If you're wishing for money, make sure you perhaps you're doing a job that people can pay you for. If you're wishing for a good time with a romantic partner, well, it's no good staying home, twiddling your thumbs and thinking, oh, this worries me, there's nobody. Go out and find somebody, you know, go dancing or go to a meetup group, or, you know, make sure that you follow your action with, follow your intention with some sort of action that's going to allow the universal energy to bring you whatever it is you might be seeking.
Or at least it opens you up to it. Yeah, for sure. All right. So we've got those two phases that we've talked about, the new moon and the full moon. Now, there's a couple in between. What are they about? Because I hear about I want to ask you about the solstice later on too, but I hear about the ones in between. Sorry, I'm just going off track here. The ones in between, what do they represent? So you're waning and you're waxing, yeah?
Well, your waxing energy is when just after, between the new moon and the full moon. And this is when the energy is building towards that, the energy of the full moon, and you are creating or providing opportunities for the creation of whatever activities, whatever's required to meet the energy of the full moon. Now, not everybody makes wishes at the new moon, but, you know, things do culminate at a full moon, and the waxing moon is just simply a little milestone, if you like, on the way to the full moon, between the new moon and the full moon. And then conversely, on the waning moon, you have this, you know, the full moon has come. It's a bit like a flower blooming. Now you talk about flowers, Susan. You do a bit of flowers. So they've, at the new moon, you've got the seed, and at the full moon, you've got the full flower. At the waxing moon, you'd have the bud just beginning to open. And then at the full moon, it opens. And then on the waning moon, the flower would be folding itself back together, ready to disappear into the seed to start the next cycle.
Very good. Okay, so where I go is we go new moon, we wax on to the full moon, and we wane off.
We wane off.
Wane off. Okay.
Wane off.
Because I never know how to do that.
And then, you know, just before the next new moon, there's a period that's often referred to as the black moon or the dark moon, where it's a time where you've got to clean up your act from that energy. So
it's like the transferring over. So that's finished that one, and then we're going into the next one.
Yeah, it's a bit like, you know, okay, well, I've been reading this book, and now the time is for me to go on to the next book. So let me tidy up the notes I've made. Tidy them away, file them away, put the book away, put away all bits and pieces that I might have had relating to this book or this lesson, put it away, and then get the next book out so I can be ready for the next lesson.
And you're clean and you're fresh and you haven't got any leftovers from the one before.
That's right. Watching the last 3 or 4 days before the new moon, what unfinished jobs do you have to do? Do you need to finish? Just finish that little project that you started 3 weeks ago. Finish it off, tidy it up, file it away, throw out what you don't need. Because there's always things that you when you're creating something, particularly in Leo energy, you create stuff and it doesn't work. So you create something else. Oh, that works really well, but I don't want that one, so I'll throw that one away. But you clear out the deck.
So okay. Right. Now, what I put up on the screen, and of course the podcast aren't going to see this, so I need to let everybody know how to connect with Evelyn. So Evelyn is Evelyn Douglas, and her website is called Karma. Now, but it's spelt with a Q, so it's qalma.com.au. So Australian business, qalma.com.au. So Karma. With a Q, and I love it. It's great. So I just needed to put that out there, Evelyn, because, like I said, the podcast can't see the images, and we just so happily chat over them. So I wanted them to understand that. Now, the other thing that I had running, and obviously the people aren't going to see that because they're on the podcast, is about the little books that Evelyn creates. Now, I asked Evelyn to do a birth chart for my granddaughter when she was born. And she presented it all and went right through it all, and it was a really good guide on how the parents can help this child, because you get an understanding of the child from the word go, and that the planetary alignments and their birth chart. And she presented to me in this lovely little folder, and it was really great. And I remember giving it to my daughter, and it was really good. I've still got a copy at home. But now, oh my goodness, talk about step it up a little bit. Evelyn, if you've got one of those books, can you show it on the video for me? But what she is doing is she's doing them in these little hardcovers. So there's this lovely little pink one, a lovely little blue one. I'm sure you can, you know, decide which colors they are. There's a lovely photo of your baby on the front, yep, and the name on there, and then it's got this little Florence, and then it's got all the birth charts and all the understanding of it. It is such a lovely birthday gift. Well, a birth gift. I mean, they've obviously got to be born so we can get the chart. See the charts there? So with all that detail is in there. And I remember the one that I've got. It was just amazing. I kept on going over it and over it and over it and over it. I must get it out again because I haven't got it out for about 5 years. Just to see if little Mia is behaving the way you said. And that's lovely. It's beautiful. And she's even got the writing in pink for little Florence. So if you want anything like that, contact Evelyn. You can get to her with karma.com.au. That's Q-A-L-M-A. And the other thing is, I'll show you this one. Hang on. Is her email. So it's Evelyn, E-V-E-L-Y-N, at karma, Q-A-L-M-A.com.au. But I'll try and put those in down the bottom there for you so you can have a look. So I just want to reiterate over it again, Evelyn. So when we're looking at the four phases of the moon, I'm going to say my bit and see if I can get this right, and then you can pull me up and tell me where I've gone wrong, okay? All right, I'm going to start with the new moon. The new moon is where we make our intentions, where we put our intentions out there. If we put our intentions out under the energy of the astrological sign, such as Leo or Aquarius, whatever it is, we will stand a better chance of going with the flow and getting what we want.
That's correct.
Right, then we go. That's the new moon. Then we wax on. So we're into the waxing moon. That's where we start to do those actions to make sure we're in the right place to meet the love of our life, or we're doing different things like that. The full moon is when we expect our intentions to come to fruition. And then we go waning off. We go to the waning moons. And this is where we do this changeover. So we allow that intention and that expectation to be addressed, assessed, and put aside, ready for the new one. Now tell me what I've missed.
No, that's a really good summary, Susan. So
towards
the end of the moon phase, it's a completion phase. It's completing what you set out to achieve at the new moon. Now sometimes it doesn't come with this full moon. It may be a few full moons away, but you're not always to know whether you're actually in correct alignment with your spiritual purpose. And that's part of the challenge is, you know, you want to do it and that, you know, you want the love of your life to turn up, but, you know, maybe he's not meant to turn up or she's not meant to turn up for another 3 months.
Yes, that's true. And you've got to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
All right. But before we go, I am just going. I know you're going to shoot me for this. I want to ask you about the solstice, because that's got to do with the moon, hasn't it? Your winter and your summer solstice. Is that just sun?
No, not so much. The solstice comes from the Latin meaning the sun standing still. So sol is the word for sun. And that's to do with being still standing, so the sun standing still. And it simply refers to the position of the sun at its sort of culmination at the northernmost point and the southernmost point relative to the earth. So in the northern hemisphere, for example, they have the summer solstice on the 21st of June. When the sun is, you know, high in the northern hemisphere. But in the southern hemisphere, it's way, way from us. So we then have the winter solstice. So then we in the southern hemisphere have the summer solstice in December 21st, 22nd, just before Christmas. That's when in the northern hemisphere they have the winter solstice.
Okay.
And energy is a bit different because the seasons are different. So, you know, when the summer solstice is about celebrating the harvest and celebrating the light and celebrating all the good things that life brings us. And the winter solstice is a bit like being thankful for what we have achieved, and setting a seed, setting an intention, setting a light, planting a seed for the next 6 months. So it's, you know, it's a cycle, not unlike the moon cycle, but it's a sun cycle.
Yes. Now, the reason why I ask that is because I have been to Evelyn's place and we have done the winter solstice. Yes. And we set intentions there. And I think we had to write them out and then we sort of did a burning on them or something. Yeah, it was a while ago now. And that's because we're talking about the new moon and putting this intention out. That's what I just went straight to that evening that we had that winter solstice.
Well, it's a cycle. It's like you said, we are part of nature's cycle. And sometimes as human beings, we are so arrogant, we think we are above a nature's cycle.
Yes, yeah. Good luck with that.
We are part of nature's cycle. So it's really smart to embrace it. Embrace the seasons. Embrace the change of the moon. And, you know, even and just on a daily basis, isn't it beautiful to be up for the sunrise? Just to see the sun just creeping up over the horizon and filling the sky with this beautiful orange light, the promise of a beautiful day.
And absolutely.
At the other end of the day, it's really a very calming, satisfying feeling to sit perhaps with a little drink, if that's what you're inclined to do, on a balcony somewhere and watch the sun slowly sink into the horizon and give thanks for that lovely day that you've had. So this is cycles, the cycle of the moon, the cycle of the sun, and it's cycles within cycles, and it's so it goes on. It becomes quite complex and very interesting.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Oh, thank you so much. I really enjoyed that because it just gave me so much more clarity, which I mean, I knew about them, but I didn't realise how well and how easy they flow in the cycles. So that was really good. I really enjoyed that. Now, if you want to connect with Evelyn, I did say that before, but just get onto the website. It's it's karma.com.au. Oh God. And karma with a Q. But I'm going to say thank you so much, Evelyn. People can get with their charts. So you showed us the birth charts, but people can get their own charts, can't they?
Well, not they the can.
Chart. They get.
And there's many Google or there's many sites that you can Google, and they will do you a birth chart. But if you don't understand what it all means, it becomes really, really scary and totally confusing. So if people are interested in their own charts, explanation of the energies of their own charts, I'm very happy to do that. And thank you, Susan, so much for giving me the opportunity to share with you my passion about the moon and the stars and the sun and this nature, wonderful cycle of life in which we live. Because when we live in conscious awareness of the cycles, we can live a far more fulfilled and productive life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was amazing. Is there anything else you want to share? Because that was just wonderful. Loved it. Well,
I think that's enough for today. Another conversation about the moon place in your chart. Just, you know, again, because that's your instinctive understanding. But we'll leave that for another day, Susan.
Okay. For sure. It sounds like a deal to me. That was lovely. Thank you so much, Evelyn. I am going to say goodbye and wind up. You stay on the line. I'll chat with you in a sec, okay? They're the rules. Oh, that was amazing. I'm just going to hide that. I just love getting that clarity and that understanding, because anything that's going to help us in even these lovely subtle ways is going to make a huge difference to our lives. And if we can take on board what we want and what we understand, what we need, it's going to make things so much easier. And I've talked about it before with intuition. It's you deciding what suits you. And with Evelyn, the astrology charts, yoga, that's what suits her. That's what resonates with her. That's what her spirit needs to feel fulfilled and to feel enjoyment. I play with flowers, you know, that's what I do. I love talking about intuition and podcasts. Find what resonates with you. If you're interested in finding out any more about the astrology charts, get onto Evelyn or jump onto the Intuitive Personal Development Facebook group. if you get stuck, intuitive personal development. Jump on there, ask me about it, and I'll make sure Evelyn knows all about it. So, and she can connect with you that way otherwise. But that is me for this week. I have just going to find the right buttons to press. I will talk to you all again next week. What have I got coming up? Oh, I can't even remember now. I've got a few bits and pieces happening. And we'll catch up next week anyway, and we'll go from there. I want to say bye for now and have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.